you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, April 16th, 2019. If you have Peggy Meyer's script memorized by now, it's probably you've had the radio tuned in for the last few weeks.
I didn't know what you were going to say.
Tonight's
about Peggy.
The KUFI event here at Lincoln Square. And Peggy came by the other day. She said, I've heard myself on the radio so many times. All my friends have heard my voice. And I said, hey, it was a good little radio announcement.
Well, you got the word out.
Yeah, and tonight's the event. I've done some posts, and a lot of people have been talking about it. I've attended some of these KUFI, and it stands for Christians United for Israel. And they really go through kind of an overview of the biblical history and God's promises to the Jewish people and some of the movement of Christianity and how people felt called to help the Jews return to Israel. And he takes you through the progress of evangelicals and people reaching out, bearing witness to their Jewish neighbors and friends. And it should be a really good talk. The pastor that will be speaking tonight, he's their regional coordinator, Pastor London Allen. I've not met him before, but I hope to interview him and have him do maybe one of our Memorization Monday programs.
Well, that'd be great.
But it's happening tonight at 7 p.m. I know Peggy's been very intentional on getting desserts and working with Columbia Street Roastery, with Mark Harriet others. So there'll be some good coffee available if you get here by or before 7 p.m. Be here. Be seated. We're going to meet in the food court. We feel like we'll exceed the capacity of the studios here. So right across from us, right here in the food court, we'll have a stage set up and a sound system, and it'll happen at 7 p.m. tonight right here at Lincoln Square. No need to RSVP.
Just come.
Just come as you are. So excited about that. Yesterday, we had Huntley Brown on. Did you like his voice and connect with his story and sharing? It was Romans 10:10. And
what a great guy.
We called him up, and it was a great time. Yeah,
it
Holly
was.
Really appreciated the program, and some others gave me some really good feedback. It's a great verse. It's Romans 10:10. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And so he shared a little of his testimony and this God-honoring verse. And hopefully, as you continue to memorize with us, next week it'll be number 10, and we'll see who the special guest is. But tomorrow we're going to have Joey Kroll in the studio.
Yes.
Excited to
I'm
have
excited
him.
About
I think
that.
We're going to be calling him up. I don't think he's going to drive in for that. So we'll call him up, and he'll be
you
a
mean
part.
He doesn't just drive down the drop of a pin?
Yeah.
The,
Joey, get here right now.
We need you tonight.
Yeah. So that'll be Joey tomorrow. We'll be talking about Easter and the Prime Life Times and his devotional.
His column.
His article, his column. Yeah. So, excited about that. Let's see. Great. We're going to look at possibly two chapters today out of Memories of an African Son by Marianne Simpkins. And our titles of these chapters are Mistakes Were Made and Values. But we also have one final announcement in case somebody's reading the Prime Life Times.
Oh, where in the world is the Prime Life Times?
Where in the world is the Prime Life Times? It's a new...
Yeah, it's a new feature.
New feature.
We have a feature.
You've heard it first right here now. It's a new feature.
That's right.
Coming in May. So in a couple of weeks, you'll see our first and only submission because he kind of did it on its own.
I know, I love it.
And it was right after you and I were talking about this being an interesting thing that we should do.
I know, it was so amazing. We talked about it, and then it's like, he just showed up with it.
Yeah.
His picture in Florida, tie clapper.
Yeah.
So we'll have that in the paper and opening up a kind of a contest for people to submit their pictures, although everybody's going to get a prize if they submit it.
Everyone will get a prize, and then there'll be a drawing for an additional special prize, probably a meal out or something. But what you need to know now is if you currently subscribe or you have a copy of the Prime Life Times paper, go somewhere. Maybe you're going to be going on vacation next week, next month, in a few months. Take the paper along with you.
Yeah.
Get somebody to take a photograph. I guess you could do a selfie, too, for that matter, with your phone.
Just go to Turkey Run, hold it up, you know.
Yeah. And tell us where you are with our paper. And there's a chance that this photo will be submitted into the paper.
Accepted, yeah.
And then we'll get permission from you to print it in our paper in the June or July or August edition. And so it's Where in the World is the Prime Life Times? Is that what we're going to call it?
Yeah, that's what we're calling it. Do you feel like you and I don't know how to run a contest? Yeah, everybody gets a prize?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, well.
But there'll be some more fortunate winners.
That's right, that's right.
There'll be like a quarterly special
gift certificate.
Yeah, you'll probably get like an appetizer coupon or something.
And we'll, you love giving those out.
Yeah, yeah. The Texas Roadhouse is a good one, and we're going to try to get some other ones.
Yeah.
If you live near the Beef House restaurant or something, you're like, hey, Texas Roadhouse is a long drive for us.
Well, what about people in Florida like Ty?
Yeah.
They got to have something that works everywhere.
Yeah, that's right. So we'll get something.
Dairy Queen, here we come.
So somebody's going to go out today or tomorrow. They're going on vacation. They're going to take the paper with them.
Yeah, hold it up.
What do they do?
They just hold it up, have somebody take a really fun picture of them.
And then how do they get it to you?
Email marianne@primelifetimes.com, or they can mail it to the station.
Right here?
To here at Lincoln Square.
Yeah, 112 Lincoln Square, Urbana, Illinois, 61801.
Yeah.
And we'll have a contest going.
It'll be fun.
And it'll be fun to look into the paper and be real creative where you go or what you're next to or, you know, if you're in Springfield and you're next to the Lincoln statue.
That'd be
or,
fun.
You
That's
know,
a
something
good one.
That would be kind of a fun one.
That's a good one. Somebody should do that.
Yeah, so mistakes were made. No mistakes made here. I haven't made as mistakes since third grade. Did you know that?
I'm being very quiet.
Yeah. I've told people that before. I haven't sinned since third grade. I like saying that. I always think it's kind of funny. Yeah.
That's fun for you.
Yeah. I delight myself.
Oh, good. And then the chapter is Mistakes Were Made.
Yeah.
Chapter 49. I don't understand people who say they have no regrets. Hmm. I have many things I wish I had said or done, actions I wish I had taken. From our time in Africa through the rest of my life up to this present moment. But I don't live in regret, because that would seem stagnating. We must forgive ourselves and others. We simply must go forward. But to have no regrets, I can't imagine. I'm sure that we made mistakes when we were missionaries. The reason I'm so certain of it is that all human beings make mistakes, except our Lord Himself. But tremendous good occurred as well. I know that because of the numbers of African people who have said so. My parents, along with many of the other missionaries, were loved and respected there. And I think it's because their hearts were right, and the people around us picked up on that. People in general across this planet have the interesting ability to intuitively understand when someone is trying to do things well and with integrity, whether they make mistakes or not, and also to intuitively know when that is not the case.
Hmm.
It meant so much when a high-ranking member of the Ghanaian government at the time told one of our fellow missionaries that the reason he and other government colleagues enjoyed spending time with us and helping us succeed was that we were unlike some other missionaries of the time. He said many Ghanaians could sense that they were merely being tolerated by some missionaries, but that they did not feel that from our little group. From us, he felt a genuine respect and love. By far, the missionaries we lived among were exemplary people. Some had given up lucrative careers. They had spent their savings. They were apart from loved ones. Some gave almost their entire adult lives to this purpose, and they did it with grace and cheer. To this day, I feel like standing when they enter a room. My respect for them and what they accomplished is strong and high. A number of the adult children and even the grandchildren of those missionaries continue to serve the people of Africa today, founding orphanages and schools. But, as with all groups of people, missionaries are not a homogeneous lot. All people do whatever they're doing and go wherever they're going for widely diverse reasons. The same was and is true of missionaries. Some of the earliest missionaries had gone to Africa as part of a growing colonialism. Others, from the very same time period, were distinctly separate from it. Some lost their lives opposing that colonialism, killed by their own countrymen far from home. They had come with a far higher purpose, a far nobler mission. But it is so sad to say there were some for whom this was not the case. And looking back at their presence has made me understand the stories I've heard about the great damage done by such types of people. I've never figured out why they came. Quite honestly, it must have been for some strange reason of their own. We had a few run-ins with them, and both of my parents were distressed at their lack of honoring the people around us, their lack of honoring the people's way of life and the dignity of their personhood. I am happy to report that they were not the majority. It came to mind one day to wonder if this anomaly is still going on around me where I live now. Instead of looking back, I decided to look around. And yes, I found it. Individuals from all walks of life and every political corner who are helping the hungry or working on some other worthy endeavor. Yet even while engaging in such worthy tasks, they seem filled with resentment and anger at their fellow human beings who are also helping others in the exact same way. Even hateful most of the time, these, quote, aid givers mock and demean those whom they deem to not be right. In other words, those who do not agree with the mocker's personal, political stance or beliefs. Worse, sometimes the disgruntled helpers even put down those they're supposed to be aiding. Then there are those individuals who choose to only pontificate about social issues at great length instead of actually doing something. Whatever that seed of resentment and discontent is, it carries a negative life force that gnaws at the individual and threatens to poison those around them. One thing that I had to learn early on in life is that very often people who are not doing much of anything will relentlessly criticize those who at least have the guts to get out there and try. It was a hard lesson, then and now. It is just a price that the risk takers pay. The Bible states in the book of James, "For we all stumble in many ways." James 3:2. And that is simply the case. No way around it. Yet that same book also says, "If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you."
Great verse.
Yeah, James 1:5. So I guess that is the key. Since we're all apparently going to be making mistakes, and there seems to be no way around that fact, then the way through it is to, many times a day, ask God for wisdom. Wisdom to avoid the mistakes altogether, to mend the mistakes we've already made, and to quickly own up to the ones we may make this very day. In the end, it seems that all we can do is lay everything at the feet of Jesus and ask Him to bless it, to fix our errors, and to amplify the good that was done. Then to let go and let it all flow into the great river of life and pray that the good survives. My dad used to say, "We need wisdom to get through this day." No particular explanation, just the statement, and on he would go. The older I get, the more I find myself saying that, too.
You know, Marianne, we need wisdom to get through this day.
Yes, we do, Mark. Thank you. We do. Father, forgive me for my mistakes, but mostly forgive me for the times I willfully did wrong. The mistakes, well, you and I both know, they were just mistakes. More serious are the times I knew better. But nevertheless, please don't let even my mistakes hurt others. That is the worst thing of all. When I've hurt others and didn't mean to, please intervene. Please solve the outcomes of my mistakes. You will have my eternal gratitude.
Mistakes Were Made, Chapter 49, out of Memories of an African Son by Marianne Simpkins, available here at the Great News Radio Center for the bargain price of $50. Oh, very good. Mistakes Were Made, Chapter 49. Chapter 50 is Values.
Yes. Chapter 50, Values. For centuries throughout much of Africa, cattle were considered extremely important. Though teeming with diverse wildlife, the continent's old caves and stones bear the images of cattle more than any other animal. Historians and archaeologists alike say that up to the time of the great Zimbabwe kingdom, a cow was most likely worth far more than any amount of gold. Even though gold was plentiful in the ground, many Africans at that time in history had no use for it. Which brings us to the point, who decides what has value? In an unthinking society, people just continue to assume that what their culture has at some point decided is of monetary value just is, without any further thought. Many assume that the ancient people of Central Africa just didn't know yet that gold was intrinsically valuable, that they merely hadn't been informed of this important fact. Nothing could be further from the truth. They simply had little use for gold as a substance at that time. Its inherent value or lack of value wasn't something they needed to learn. That doesn't change the fact, of course, that other cultures, both in Africa and elsewhere, had decided that gold was indeed highly valuable to them. Nor that some of those cultures traversed Africa's jungles and savannas searching for the gold that lay across the continent in huge reserves, the largest gold reserves in the world. Some of the deepest mines in the world are in Africa. The gold mines of Africa, highly, highly sought after. Can you imagine what would happen if the wild herb growing rampant in your yard was suddenly worth millions of dollars? The herb that you have been stepping on, trying to get to the car? Can you imagine what would happen as people descended in droves upon you, intent on having it at all costs, setting up tents in the road and the yard to harvest it and hurry off with it, with not even a thought that it belongs to you?
That's like dandelions. I guess the Chinese really value them or like them.
Tea.
And I'm like, hey, we have them all over our yard. Come on
Come on over here.
Oh, in fact, I can sell them to you.
Oh, that's funny. That's great. This is what happened in parts of Africa with the gold. For gold did have tremendous value to the people who came looking for it. They had use for it. Great prices were paid, and part of that price was in human lives. Great wealth came from the gold mines, both in the past and this very day. Parts of modern Africa, glittering parts, have been built on the money from gold. Things actually aren't intrinsically valuable in terms of being worth millions of dollars, unless they are true necessities, like food, water, clothing, or shelter, and are currently in short demand. Instead, people decide that things are valuable. They discover a valuable use for them, or they just like them, like million-dollar art or sculpture pieces. What we value is, unfortunately, often arbitrary. It changes like the wind.
I think that's maybe one of the most important things in this chapter, that sentence right here. What we value is, unfortunately, often arbitrary. It changes like the wind.
Thank you. I heard of something on the stock market the other day that suddenly had magnificent value. It happened overnight. I had never heard of it until that day. That's not to say that it isn't of value. It may save lives. Or maybe it's actually useless or a whim. Can you imagine a city where people decided that eradicating poverty or hunger from within their boundaries was the most valuable thing they could envision. So valuable, they poured thousands upon thousands of dollars into it. Oh, I know. That'd be a nice thing. But what if it wasn't just a nice thing? What if it was a passionate value? That it was talked about on every street corner of the town, over morning coffee in the restaurants. That people could hardly wait to arrive at work because they'd thought of yet another idea to help the town. Because they viewed it not just as a wonderful, abstract, or self-righteous theory, charity, or a moral obligation, but as something to be proud of and to work hard for, because they thought it had value, like gold. Have you ever wondered what would happen if we would all just break out of the box we find ourselves in and make new decisions on what we think has value and what doesn't? Then simply act on those decisions? In other words, what if our words and actions suddenly came into alignment? There is nothing at all inherently wrong with gold, you know. It's a beautiful and quite useful substance of our earth. Yet, Proverbs 16:16 says, "How much better to get wisdom than gold?" That's because when you have the wisdom, then you really know what to do with the gold.
Amen.
Father, make my values line up with yours. I thank you for the gold and all the other things you've caused to be created on this earth. I thank you for the grains and the harvest. I thank you for it all. Please show us how to use these things, all of them, in ways that do not hurt others, but in ways that make sense to the best part of our nature and to you.
Values. May God give us the wisdom to value the right things and discard or not value the things that are unnecessary. Another great chapter in Memories of an African Son by Marianne Simpkins, available here at the Great News Radio Center. And in fact, if you come out tonight to the CUFI event, you can purchase your copies.
All right.
We'll have the store open. Store's open for business. Hope to see you tonight at 7 p.m. here at Lincoln Square for a CUFI event, Christians United for Israel. Certainly pick up your copy of Memories of an African Son, or for that matter, you can also pick up 100 Bible verses everyone should know by heart. We'll continue memorizing verses together on Monday. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.
We are walking in the land.